All right, well said. Let's begin. So we left off Mishnah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Ashalosh Averos Anoshim Mesos B'Shas Leidosam. The Mishnah says there are three sins for which women die at the time of childbirth. Al She'inon Zihiros Benida B'Chala U'Bahadlokas Haner. Because they are not vigilant, they are not careful with the mitzvahs of nida, chala, which is hafrashas chala, separating chala from dough, hadlokas haner, ultimately candle lighting. Says the Gemara, nida my time. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand what is it about these three particular things that ultimately leads to this punishment at this time. Nida my time. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, he kilkala bechadre bitna. Literally, she has kilkala. She has acted inappropriately in the chambers of her womb, which represents, again, not keeping the laws of family purity, not keeping the laws of nida. Lefichach tilake bechadre bitna. Therefore, ultimately, she will be punished in the chambers of the womb. So the Gemara says, Tenach nida, chala vahadlokas haner ma'ika lememar. So we understand, again, there's clearly a more of what we'll call a quid pro quo between not being careful with the laws of Nida and therefore being susceptible to punishment at childbirth, because anatomically they both deal with the same part of the body. But the Gemara says, what's the connection between Hadlokas Ner and Chala? So the Gemara says, Kedidara Shahugli Lo Alei de Rav Chista, as this particular individual from the Galil, Darshan in front of Rav Chista, Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the following, Revias Dam Nasati Bochem, I have given you a Revias of Dam. Now Rashi points out, you see this concept a couple of times throughout the Gemara, which was just clearly based on their level of understanding, on general, secular, worldly understanding. Revias Dam, Rashi says, Chai Adam Teluyin Ba. That ultimately, in order for a person to live, they need to have at least a Revias of blood. Now, truth is, a person needs much more than a Revias of blood. But again, that's reflecting of whatever medical knowledge, scientific knowledge they had at the time of the Gemara. So, the Shmaruch who says, I've given you a revius of dam, therefore al iske dam his heart yeschem. So I've given you a revius of blood that you need to live, therefore I have charged you concerning matters of blood. In this particular situation, specifically regarding the area of menstrual blood, I've told you, I've given you dam, and therefore I've told you to be careful with dam nida. Next top of Lamed Aleph, Talamed Beis, excuse me. Reishis karas yeschem. I called you reishis. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyah. Reishis tivuas. A Klal Yisrael is called the first. Therefore, Al iske reishis his heart yischem. Therefore, I have charged you concerning the matter of reishis. Now, what is that referring to? Rashi says reishis arisos seichem. When the Torah phrases the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, the Torah says you will take from the first of your mixing bowls. That refers to challah. Neshama shenasati bachem keruya ner. The neshama that I have placed in your body, I call a candle. Al iske ner his heart yischem. Therefore, regarding matters of the candle, I have charged you. Imatem mekaymin osam, if you uphold all of these mitzvos, muta of good, v'imlav, and if not, hareni notel nishmaschem, I will take your lives. Rashi points out over here, hareni notel nishmaschem, v'tobad revias dimchem, I will take back the revias of blood if you're not careful with nida, v'yechaben nerchem, I will take back the candle if you're not careful with hadlakas neros, v'yivatel shem reishischem, and I will negate the fact that you are racious. So obviously the one point the Gemara doesn't discuss is why dafka these three things, meaning why dafka these, obviously nida we understand why it's related to women, but why ner and why hafrashas challah? So Rashi here points out, he says, v'noshim netstavu alkach, women are specifically charged regarding these mitzvos, kedamrinam bebereishis rabba, hi ivda chaloso shel olam, sha'al yoda nitrat adam harishon, she'nitram kechala, v'kav saneru shel olam, v'shavcha damo, v'od she'tzarech b'ayis. So Rashi says two things. First he quotes the Medrash, and he explains, the Medrash says, that chava literally is responsible for taking away the chala of the world. What does that mean? That as a result of the sin of chava, the eighth das tov vara, ultimately again man has to work much harder, and therefore again she took away the chala, which would have come much easier. Now it comes only after incredible effort. Therefore she's mitzvah on the mitzvah of chala. Kav sanero shel olam. Ultimately, she extinguished the flame of the world because of the sin of the eighth das tov vara, that death was brought upon the world, or death in some form was brought upon the world, and therefore, again, she's responsible for rekindling the ner, the light of the world. Shafcha damo, as a result of her sin, she brought about death in the world, and therefore, ultimately, again, she's responsible for dam nida. Rashi says, also just to point out, what the Medrash is really highlighting is, and this is not a quick, just this is just fact, the the lion's share of the chait of the Eitz Das Tovara falls on Chava. Falls on Chava. Adam's sin is something different. Adam is not charged with committing the sin. Adam's fault, Adam's chait, is that he blamed it on Chava. Is that instead of going ahead and recognizing we did something wrong, let's work collaboratively to rectify this, he just simply shifts all the blame to her. But at the end of the day, Chazal understood, she's the one who committed the Aveira. And therefore, she's the one who brought about all of these negative repercussions. And therefore, the Medrash understands that therefore all these mitzvos fall upon her descendants, specifically women, to try to rectify that particular sin. Rashi also points out over here just the second idea, which is a more practical idea. V'od shetzarchei habayis tuluyinva. Obviously, Rashi is reflecting a societal norm that also women were found more often in the home. So because of that, it made sense to go ahead and say that the woman was obligated in afrasha schala in there. The nida we don't have to explain, because the nida is obviously why she's responsible for that. But the other two, which are more household-affiliated mitzvos, the woman was there more often. Okay? So the Gemara says the following. So the question comes up, why during the time of Leida? So the Mishnah, so we understand why a woman is responsible for these three particular mitzvos, and we understand why there would be repercussions if she does not observe them. But why would the repercussions be dealt out at the time of childbirth? So the Gemara is something very interesting. Amar Rava, Rava said, Nafal tura chadad l'sakina. When the ox falls down, sharpen the knife. Now what does that mean, I was saying? We're going to see a number of different statements, and all of them essentially mean the same thing. That at a time that a person is most vulnerable, that's when they're most prone to punishment. That the way the Beis Din Shamal works is when a person is already in a compromised situation, if there are chas v'shalom averos that need to be reckoned with, they're reckoned with at that time. Just like the ox is strong, but if the ox falls down, that's the time when it's more ripe for shechita. When a person is in sakana, that is time when Beis Din Shamala sometimes finds the opportunity to prosecute. So all of the phrases you're going to see right now are all just different formulations of the same exact idea. Abai Omer, Tafish Tiros Amso, Bechad Mechad Sholehavi. That let the maidservant be rebellious as she wants, and you'll deal with it with one fell swoop of the rod. Rav Chista Amar, Shafke L'Rav, you'll leave the drunk person alone. The Minav Sheinafel, he'll fall down on his own. Mar Ukva said, Raya Chigra, if you have a shepherd who became crippled, V'izi Riatan, and therefore the sheep think they can get away, Abav Chutra Mili, V'Abe Dori Chushpina. At the entrance to the pen, they'll find words of rebuke, and at the entrance of the pen, they'll find a reckoning. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, Abav Chanu Asa, at the entrance way of the store. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so again, all of the statements up till now all just say the same thing, that ultimately, at a time when, even when people think they could escape unscathed, at a time of vulnerability, that's when a person is most prone to din d'cheshbon. So therefore, childbirth, which obviously is a time of incredible vulnerability, is a time in which a woman is susceptible to din d'cheshbon, to judgment by the heavenly tribunal, for if she did not keep these particular mitzvos. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says the following. Now, Rav Papa's formulation is a little bit different than the others. So Rav Papa says like this, Abav Chanu Asa is actually a very interesting life statement. Abav Chanu Asa, at the entranceway of the store, Nafish Achi Umarachami, a person has many brothers and many friends. Abav Bizyoni, at the entranceway of humiliation, Lo Achi V'lo Merachami. Amazingly enough, there are no brothers and there are no friends. Now take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Abav Chutra, Abav Chanu Asa Nefishi Achi Umarachami, Le Pesach Hachanos, at the entranceway of the store, Shemechalkim Bo Mezonos. Right, so let's say at the entranceway of the store where, let's say, if I own the store, I'm giving away things, the Yesh Sham Osher, there's much wealth, Harbe Achim V'Harbe Oavim Yesh, Hakol Na'asim Oavim. In other words, when you have what to give to others, then suddenly what? Bless you. Everybody's your friend, right? Everybody's your friend, everybody's your brother. But yet, Abav Bizyoni, Rashi says, B'mokum sheyesh hefsid va'oni, in a place where there is loss, where there is poverty, lo achi v'lo merachami. Sometimes when you're in need, it's a little bit more difficult to find friends. Kach, b'shas ha-sakana, hora mazla, v'chashivusa, v'chadlo praklit inshela. So too, at a time of sakana, sometimes, if a person has too much sin baggage with them, they find themselves without anyone to protect them. So Rav Papa, essentially it's the same idea that at times of vulnerability, that's when our sinful behavior could sometimes catch up with us and allow us to be punished for all of our sins. So the Gemara says the following. The Gavri, Heicha Mivtiki. So now, the Gemara has a very interesting question. So now we understand when women are, so to speak, prone and susceptible for punishment to their sins. What about men? What about men? When is the time of reckoning for men? So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, B'sha'a Sha'ovrim Ala Gesher. So Reish Lakish says, when they cross a bridge. That's the time of reckoning. What does that mean? So let's look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi's, well, actually, not yet. So the Gemara says, Gesher V'sulo, only when they cross a bridge, that's the time of reckoning for men. Ema Ke'in Gesher. Rather, it means any time they're in a situation that's like crossing a bridge. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Ke'in Gesher, Kol Makom Sakana, Kegon Kir Natoi V'yotzei L'derech. What, remember, we'll say, when you think of a bridge, so we think about the Delaware Memorial Bridge, George Washington Bridge. That's not what they're talking about over here. When they talk about bridges, these are bridges that, you know, you held your breath until you got to the other side, because who knows what was going to happen. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that when are men judged for their deeds? Every time they get into a bridge-like situation. Meaning whenever they're in a situation of sakana, whether it's crossing a bridge, kir natoi means they walk by a shaky wall, yotze, there if they go out on a journey. They will say, what's a little bit scary about this Gemara is the following. So women have to contend with divine judgment at the time of childbirth. It would appear that men have to contend with divine judgment when? When? Virtually daily. Right? Virtually daily. That you can have a situation where any time you're in some type of potential makom sakana, that you would go ahead and have to deal with divine judgment. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara is Kengishar. Rav, so the Gemara gives a couple of examples like this. Rav, lo avar bemivra, diyosib beakum. Rav would not go on a riverboat, right? Rashi points out that a mavra is a svina she'ovrim bo asanar. It's a boat that they would use to cross the river. He would not go in a boat with a non-Jew. Amr dilma mifkid le dina ale umistafina bahadei. Because Rav was concerned that what? Maybe this akum, this Ovid Kochavim, is going to be judged and he's going to be liable to go ahead and be killed. And what's going to happen? So the truth is, God's not going to make half of the boat go down, right? I'm going to go down with him. So therefore, he wouldn't go with the akum. Shmuel lo avar ela b'mavra de'isbe akum. Interestingly enough, Shmuel would only go on a boat that did have an akum. Why? He said, Amar sitna betrei ume lo shalit. He said, the Satan does not simultaneously judge two nations. Right? So meaning you can't patch two nations at once. So I know that if I'm with the Akum, I'm going to be safe. All right. Rav Yanai Badik Va'avar. Rav Yanai, before he would go ahead and get into a boat, he would check the boat. Hasvina Shlo Yehei Banekev. He would check the boat that there were no holes in the bottom of the boat. Right? So meaning, what the Gemara is pointing over here, it's like a progression. Because what you have of Rav and Shmuel is more worrying about the celestial piece. Right? What is God going to do? Whereas Rav Yanai took more concrete measures. Getting in the boat is sakana. So don't rely on a miracle. We'll see in just a little bit. But rather check the boats for leaks. Okay? Rav Yanai Litame, Da'am Rav Yanai. Da'am Rav Yanai, because Rav Yanai says, Li'olam al yamot adam makom sakana, lomar she'osin lo nes. Because Rav Yanai used to say, a person should not put themselves in a situation of danger and rely on a miracle. Number one, shema ein osin lo nes. Because number one, perhaps God is not going to do a miracle for you. And number two, v'im osin lo nes, just know that if God does do a miracle for you, menakin lo mizichu yosef. Just know that that is a draw on your spiritual bank account. So just know that if you force God to go ahead and do a miracle for you, that will come out of your net savings of mitzvos, of zchuyos, of merit. Amrab chanin maikra. So what's the pasuk that supports this idea? Katonti mikala chasadim umikal ha'emes. Interestingly enough, the pasuk is over here. The pasuk is over here by Yaakov Avinu. Right, that by Yaakov Avinu, interestingly enough, as he's preparing to engage with Esav, so he's very worried. He's very worried. And why is he very worried? Katonti mikala chasadim. Now, the way the Gemara understands this, now, the way we would translate it is normally, katonti mikala chasadim, that literally, I'm humbled by all of the great things that you've done for me. The way the Gemara actually understands it is how? God, I'm concerned that I have been made small by all of the good things you have done for me. Or in other words, I'm concerned that because of all of the chasadim you've done for me, then what? You've depleted my spiritual bank account. And that's why he's desperately afraid of Esav. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira b'yomid d'shusa lo nafek lebene dikla. So the Gemara gives another example over here, people who wouldn't rely on miracles. So Rabbi Zeira, on a day where there was a strong southern wind, would not walk between the palm trees. So apparently the southern winds were known to be especially vicious. So he wouldn't walk between palm trees on that day, out of fear that the wind's going to knock something down on him. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak b'nei Rabbi Yehuda. Li'olam yivakish adam rachmim shol yachla. Stay inside. Stay inside. Right? So the Gemara says like this. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, Tron Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Breit Rav Yehuda, the Olam Mivakish Adam Rachamim, Shelo Yechla. A person should always, it's actually very interesting, Rabbi Hossein, because we're not used to this type of tefillah. This is proactive prayer. A person should always ask HaKadosh Baruch for Rachamim that he should not get sick. Right, this is interesting, a different form of tefillah. We're conditioned in reactive prayer. So Rabbi Yitzchok says, daven proactive, that you should not get sick. Shim yechla, because if you get sick, omrim lo, havei zechus v'hipater. Because Rabbi Yitzchok, if a person does get sick, then the Beis Din Shamala says, bring a zechus to extricate yourself from this situation. Meaning, so it's easier almost to daven not to get into the situation to begin with, because once you get into it, you need some type of merit to extricate yourself from it.
That's what Asher Yatzar is, right?
I'm sorry?
Asher Yatzar is...
Asher Yatzar is Shevach Voda after the fact. What triggers that? What triggers that is that I was just healthy. Right? So it's still reactive. It's real. Rabbi Yitzchak is introducing a new ideal over here, which is proactively pray for sustained health. Because again, what he's saying is, this is an interesting philosophical idea, you need less merit to stay healthy than you do to become healthy after becoming sick. Because if you're sick, you need a real zuchus to be able to extricate yourself from the sickness, as opposed to, I'm just trying to point out, this is deep philosophical, we're doing this in Daf Yomi, but this is deep philosophical stuff over here in terms of, not everybody agrees with this particular model, but Rabbi Yitzchak calls, now again, remember, this is the theme of this entire Gemara, which is that once you are put in vulnerable situations, that's often when all of a person's misdeeds are judged. So it's better to avoid the vulnerability than it is to go ahead and get into vulnerability and find this chus to get you out. All right, so the Gemara says, if I'm Amar Ukva, Mikra, what's the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Ki yipol hanofel mimenu. It's interesting because the Pasuk says, Navo said, this is talking about the mitzvah of makeh, right? The mitzvah of constructing offense. So the Torah says, when you build a new home, you're supposed to go ahead and make a fence around your roof. Because if you don't, right, don't allow blood to be shed in your home. Literally, because the one who falls will fall from it. So the Gemara Darshan's Kiipa Hanofa Mimenu, Mimenu Lahavi Raya. If you, right, because you have to, the person has to bring a raya that he shouldn't fall. Right, once he's called the nofel, he has to bring a raya to extricate himself from that situation. So the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Kiipa Hanofa Mimenu, Ra'u Izeh Lipa Misheshes Imei Bereshes, Shahari Lo Nofel, Va'akosuf Karu Nofel. So Gemara says, first of all, you see something also interesting over here, which is that everything's ordained. How do we know that it's ordained? Because the Torah says, Kiipa Hanofel Mimenu. Now, Kiipa Hanofel literally means what? That the one who falls will fall. Right? Or the really actually means, the fallen one will fall. So why does it call him the fallen one? Because ultimately, that's clearly his destiny to fall. So then the obvious follow-up question is, if it's his destiny to fall, so why does the Torah place any blame upon the owner of the home? Ela, shemagalgilin zchus al yidei zakai, v'chova al yidei chayiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes good things to happen through good people, and bad things to happen through bad people. So if someone gets hurt on my property, it could be that it was ordained by the Ribono Shel Olam that this is supposed to happen. But the fact that it happened through me is indicative of the fact that there's something wrong with me as well. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, put the fence up, and don't allow yourself to be the one who causes the bloodshed. That guy who's supposed to fall, he'll fall. He'll fall. Somehow he'll fall.
Will he fall off your roof?
No, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He won't fall off your roof. He won't. You do what you're supposed to do, he won't fall off your roof. He'll fall. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him. But it shouldn't be through you. Right.
Pushing
it, right. Right. At least with witnesses. Tana, Mishachala, Vinatalamus. If somebody was sick, right, and was on the cusp of dying, right, Natalamus, Omrim lo hisvade. We tell him, do vidui, shekol hamumsin misvadin, because everybody who's going to die does vidui. Now, I was like, first of all, be careful who you say that to, right? And also be careful how you say it. We have, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that we do tell someone who's on their deathbed that they should do vidui, that they should confess, but we don't use this formulation. We don't say, confess, because everybody's going to die, confesses. What we say is, confess, actually the lashon we use is, we say to a person, confess, because it's always good to make sure that you have this zichus, but halavaya kodesh baruch hu should grant you refuah shalema. So it's like life insurance, you know, meaning we buy, we hope not to have to use it, but at the same time we buy it because it's important to have. So, but then the Gemara says that if you see that it's a chesed that you do for someone, that if you see that someone's going to die, we urge them to do vidui. Adam yotze l'shuk, if a person goes out to the marketplace, yidome be'enav kamisha nimsa l'sragiot. That is, if a person has been handed over, right, to the Sragiot. Sragiot was the name of the particular Roman official that would take you before the Roman court to be judged. And Rav Osai, Rashi points out something very interesting. Apparently, in times of the Gemara, going out to the Shuk was a dangerous thing. Rashi says over here, this is actually quite interesting, L'shuk mitzuyim sham merivos uba'alei dinim nochrim v'yisraelim. What would happen in the Shuk is, and this is quite amazing, is that fights would break out there all of the time. Why would fights break out? Because there were lenders, there were borrowers, there were people that had so the shuk, I guess, was like the nothing changed, like Machane Yehuda, right? Right. So you go to the, so what's interesting is the Gemara says when you go, so remember the whole theme of your Rabosai is that when a person finds themselves in a vulnerable situation, that opens one up to judgment by the hands of the heavenly court. So the Gemara just says if you are going out to the shuk, it's as if you're being handed over to the Roman official to take you over to the court. So just know that you're vulnerable. Chash beroshel. Similarly, if a person gets a headache, yehi dome be'enov kimishinas nu bekolar, it should be as if you are placed in chains. Now, what does that mean? Again, because what does a headache represent? Again, headache still also represents a certain degree of physical vulnerability. A person is not, right? We know a person can have a headache, and a headache could be a debilitating thing. So a person has been made vulnerable. So just it's as if a person's been put in chains. Allah lamita, if a person becomes vanafa, if a person becomes so sick that they have to get into bed, hidoma be'inav kimish shalu legardum, shlidon. It's as if he's been taken up to the scaffold, right, to be judged. The idea being, again, the greater the vulnerability, the more susceptible one is to divine judgment. Shekala ola legardom lidon, because once you're taken up to the scaffold to be judged, in yeshlo praklitin gidolin nitzol, if you have great advocates, you'll be saved. Ve'imlav eno nitzol, but if you don't have advocates, you won't be saved. Ve'eluhin praklitin sha'adam, and what are the advocates of man? Tshuva umaisim tovim. What do you need in order to be saved from vulnerable situations? Tshuva and maisim tovim. A person has to be able to repent, and a person has to have, right? Either, now, tshuva means one of two things. Either that you've done tshuva in the past, or that in this state of vulnerability, you do tshuva. Meaning there's nothing wrong with a person saying, it's maybe not the purest tshuva, but a person recognizing that now I'm vulnerable, and therefore that sparks a process of tshuva for me. Maisim tovim, a curse refers to one's mitzvos.
These are all physical. Is the Gemara extrapolating also to monetary situations, business deals?
I think the theme over here is vulnerability. Anytime you are in a vulnerable situation, just know that opens you up to divine judgments. The Atila, Teisha Meos, Teisha Vetisha, Melamdin Alav Chova, the Echad Melamed Alav Zuchus. So that's something amazing. And even if you have 999 things going against you, 999 advocates going against, I guess they're not advocates, if they're going against, what is it? If you're not accusers, right? 999 accusers, right? Ve'echad melamed alav zechus, but you have one thing, one praklit, one advocate trying to be on lamed zechus, then what? Nitzol. A person can be saved. Shene emar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Eov, im yesh alav malach melitz echad mine elef, lahagid la'adam yashro, that literally they're taking the pasuk from Eov quite literally. If you have one angelic advocate, even if what? It's only one out of 1,000. Meaning even if 999 malachim are coming to prosecute against you, but you have one advocate working on your behalf, it's enough to save you from the vulnerability. So Rabbi said, what's interesting is, it's a countermeasure. Because on one hand, the way the Gemara begins is by saying that when you are in a vulnerable life situation, it opens you up to judgment at the hands of heaven. So it sounds like, again, this is going to be the time when the Beis Shammah is going to exact its retribution for all of your sins. But yet, what do we see? That all the Beis Shammah needs is a very little bit of excuse not to punish you. All the Beis Shammah needs is just a very little bit of zuchus, a little bit of merit, even if it's only one out of 1,000, to tilt the scales in your favor. So on one hand, you're vulnerable and open to divine judgment. On the other hand, the system of divine judgment is always stacked in our favor. And as long as we have even one out of 1,000 things just to tilt in our favor, that's enough. Turn around. Rabbi Elazar ben Osho, Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer. So Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, said, Afilu tesha meos tesha metesha ba'oso ba'oso malach lechova ve'echad l'zchus nitzol shne'emar me'litz echad mine elef. So okay, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, just says it a little bit differently. Instead of using the lashon of praklit, he used the lashon of malachim, of angels. But same idea. Tan Rabbanan. Al shalosh averos noshim mesos yoldos. So the Braisa teaches that for these three averos, women die in childbirth. Rabbi said the three that the Braisa is referring to are the three of the Mishnah: nila, nida, chalo, hadlokas haner. Rabbi Elazar Omer, noshim mesos yoldos. Rabbi said Rabbi Elazar has a different girsa. In Rabbi Elazar's girsa, it's not yoldos, but rather what? It's yelodos, that women die young. Rashi points out over here, yelodos, bachuros, va'afilu shelo b'shas leida. According to Rebbe Elazar, therefore, trespassing these three particular averos of nida, chala, hadlokas haner is more severe than the Rabbanon. Because according to the Rabbanon, according to the beginning of the Brayis and the truth according to our Mishnah, so the truth is, the judgment for the trespass on these three averos is only visited upon women of time of childbirth. According to Belazar, no, it's not just a childbirth, but the punishment for these particular averos would be that a woman would die at a young age. Rav Acha Amar, Rav Acha says, "Ba'avon shemechapsos tzoas b'nehem b'shabbes." So Rav Acha says that one of the reasons, Rashi, Sukkot Rashi, Rav Acha Amar, hayaldos mesos al avon shemechapsos. Rav Acha says another reason why women die young is because they launder the dirty clothing of their children on Shabbos. I will say, now what you're going to see over here is the following. Rav Acha says that sometimes it could be even the most minor infractions that ultimately cause a person to die early. So Rav Acha said, and the common denominator between the things that he's going to speak about are things that people very easily trespass on. The idea being that, let's say, a child's clothing gets dirty, it's a maternal reaction to go ahead and clean off that clothing. But if one does it on Shabbos, it's one of the lamites malachos, one of the ornei malachos, a malavin, of laundering. So the woman dies because of laundering her children's clothing on Shabbos. The ish omrim, al shekoron la'arna kodesh arna. And others say, if she calls the Arna Kodesh, the Ark, in the Shul, Arna, a closet. Now, the Marshon, the sentence that Rav Acha is saying, is that sometimes when people trample over things that are at our fingertips, and people trample over, when people take serious things lightly, that ultimately could result in premature death. So he's giving examples, lav davka, that these are set in stone, but he's saying that sometimes people leave this world early because they trample on kaddish items that they just take for granted, whether it's violation of Shabbos, whether it's speaking disparagingly about an aron kodesh. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar Omer, v'avon shnei divarim ame aratos mason. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar says that for two averos, ame aratos, ignorant people, die. What are the two? What are some examples? Al shekaron la'aron kodesh arna, because they call the aron kodesh a closet. Va'al shekaron le'beis haknes as beis am, and because they call the shul beis am, you know, the JCC, you know, they call the shul the gathering place of the people. What's the idea over here? The idea is that sometimes the greatest mistake that Amir, the ignorant people, make is they trample over Kiddusha. They trample over Kiddusha of the Aron, they trample over Kiddusha of the Beis HaKnesses, and says Rabbi Shalom ben Elazar, that is a sin punishable by death. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi says the following. Shalosh bitkei misa nivru b'isha. There are three bitkei misa. There are three ultimately things that check a woman for death. Rashi says bitkei avonos shebotkin osan bahen b'shas sakana kirabana damar yoldos. There are three checks. There are three things in which a woman is checked if she is liable to death. And what are? Amri la shalosh divke misa. Others say there are divke means bonds. Rashi says shemedapkin umekarvin misa lifnei zmana kirabelazer de tani yoldos. And there are three things that ultimately cling to a woman if she violates them that will cause early death. What are they? Zanida, chala, and hadvaka saner. Chada kirabelazer, the chada kirabanan. So Rabbi said these two different versions align with the machlokis Rabbi Elazar and the Rabban. Remember, Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that if a woman violates nida chala hadlokas haner, their mesos yilados, they die young. So according to Rabbi Elazar, therefore, this is called shlosha divke misa. These are the three things that cling to her and can, if she violates these things, and can cause death. According to the Rabbanon, who hold that it's mesos yoldos, they die in childbirth, then the way you would read this, then they would say shlosha bidke misa. These are three things that check her for death at a time of vulnerability. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Haloch Hilchos Hekdish Shumos Umaisros, Hein Gufei Torah. So Rav Shimon Gamliel makes a fascinating statement. He says that the halachos of Hekdish, right? Hekdish means property that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Trumos and Maestros, the different types. These are the very essence of Torah, but amazingly enough, v'nimseru la'ameh ha'aretz. But amazingly enough, they were given over to the common folk. Now I will say, what Rav Shimon Gamliel is pointing out over here is, these items really represent, to a certain degree, the totality of Torah. Because if you think about it, they represent how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Hekdish, and they represent how we relate to one another, that's Trumos and Maestros. But amazingly enough, these are three areas of Halacha that are just given over to the common purview of man, meaning Beis Din does not regulate or does not watch over how you separate out your Trumos and Maestros, just like Beis Din does not regulate or watch over how you go ahead and deal with your Hekdish. So amazing, Rav Shimon Gamliel says how ironic it is that the very things that really prove to be the essence of Judaism are given over to the Torah Shlita, the total oversight of man. He goes on, Tanya Rabbi Nasan Omer, Ba'avon Nidarin, Mesa Isha Shal Adam. If a man is not careful with his Nidarim, with his vows, the punishment is that Chas Hashem, his wife, dies. Shene Emar, he quotes over here the Pasuk from Mishlei, Im Ein Lecha L'Shalim, if you have nothing to pay, Lama Yikach Mishkavcha Mitachtecha. Why will God not take your bed from under you? So Rabbi Osai, the Gemara is understanding that bed is a euphemism for one's wife. So if Chas Hashanah one engages in frivolous nidarim, the punishment may be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes one's wife. Rabbi Omer Rabbi says, Ba'avo nidarim, banim mesim kishem kitanim. Rabbi says, Chas Hashanah, again, in the event that one makes nidarim and does not keep them, the punishment could be that one loses their children while they're still young. Shene Emar, Al titein, quoting over here the pasuk from Koheles, Al titein espicha lachati es bisarecha. Don't allow your mouth to go ahead and corrupt your flesh. The al tomer lifnei amalach kishgagahi, and don't say before the angel, which reference to God, it's only a mistake. La miyiktzof alokim al kolcha v'chaval es maaseh yadecha, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu will end up taking the creations of your hand. Eizu hein maaseh yadav shel adam. What are the creations of man's hand? Hevi omer banav ubenosav shel adam. This refers to one's children. Tana Rabbanan. Again, the Braisa teaches that as a result of the sin of Nadarim, the Agnabos said the sin of Nadarim once again means making Nadarim and not carrying through on them. Chas v'shalom, one's children die. Divi Rabbi Lazar of Shimon, Rabbi Huda Nasi Omer, Ba'avon Bittel Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, there's another reason why one's children die, and that's because of Bittel Torah. Right, that one negates the study of Torah. Bless you. So I understand, according to the approach, that the punishment for not taking one's nedarim seriously is death of one's children, because you just demonstrated that from the pasuk in Koheles, just a few lines beforehand. But according to the man d'amar who holds that chas v'shalom, one's children could die as a result of negating Talmud Torah, what pasuk supports that? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, quoting over here the pasuk from Yirmiyah, Leshav hikesi es b'neichem Musar lo lakachu. Now, literally it means, for nothing, I have taken your children, you have not gone ahead and learned the lesson. Now, the Gemara's understanding over here is, look at Rashi, Lashav. So Rashi says, it's actually phrased as a question. Bitmia, you think for nothing I've struck down your children? Bitmia, v'chi l'chinam hi kesi? Eino ela b'shvil ha-musr, da-hainu ha-torah lo lakachu, lo lamdu lashon lakach. So most amazingly enough, the way the Gemara darshans this pasuk is, l'shavi kesi espeneichem, do you think I've taken your children for no reason? I'll tell you why I've taken your children. Musr lo lakachu. Now the Gemara understands that musr refers to Torah. Refers to Torah, that you have not taken Torah. You had opportunities to learn, you did not learn, that's called Bittul Torah, and because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will take your children. Rabbi, you should just know that amazingly enough, the Maharal in Chidush HaGadol says over here, he has a beautiful insight in this. He says the truth is most of these Gemaras are not to be understood literally, but have some type of metaphorical message. But he says over here, this is the clearest one. So what does it mean that children die as a result of Bittul Torah? The Maharal says very simple. He says if a father doesn't learn Torah, if a father is not Kovetum Torah, if a father is not Machshiv Torah, what type of spiritual life do you think that you're going to give your child? Right, we are, parents are the primary teachers of a child. So if a parent doesn't sit down and learn, if a parent doesn't sit down and take spirituality seriously, then ultimately what type of spiritual life does the parent expect the child to have? So the Maharal actually understands that the life that the Gemara is referring to over here is not the physical life of the child, but the spiritual life of the child. Okay, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says the following: Leman da'amar ba'avo nidarem nami mi'acha. According to the Man da'amar, who says that children die as a result of the sin of nidarem, also learns it out from here. Lashav hikisi espenechem. Do you think I've killed your children for nothing? Al iske shav. I've taken their lives because of iske shav. Now shav means what? Shav means vain, in vain. So the Gemara understands over here that the shav could be a reference to nedarim. You took nedarim, you did not carry through on those nedarim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will take back your children. Michti, Rabbi Huda Hanasi Haini Rabbi, V'Rabbi Ba'avo Nedarim Ka'amar. So the Gemara is something very interesting. So we seem to have two different contradictions, because the Gemara first quotes Rabbi Huda Hanasi, who says that Chas Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes one's children as a punishment for Bittul Torah, right, for not learning. And then it says that it quotes Rebbe, right, it quotes Rebbe as saying that children are taken for the sin of Nedarim. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, Basar Dishamim Rebelozim Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe changed his tune. In the beginning, Rebbe said that Chas Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes children from their parents in the sin of Bittul Torah. But then after hearing the drasha of Rebbe Shimon Elazar, he changed his mind and agreed with Rebbe Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, that it's because of Avon Nedari. Okay. Pligi ba Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yossi. Chad Amar ba Avon Mezuzah, v'chad Amar ba Avon Bittul Torah. This is very interesting. So now the Gemara requires the Machlokis. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yossi. One says that children are taken from their parents because the parents were not careful with the mitzvah of Mezuzah, and others say because it's the sin of Bittul Torah, of negating the study of Torah. So the Gemara says, Leman do Amar ba Avon Mezuzah, Mikra Nidrash Lafanav, Velo Lifneifanav. Uleman do Amar ba Avon Bittul Torah, Mikra Nidrash Lafanav, Ulif Neifanav. So let me show you, it's actually very interesting. So what they're dashing over here is the following. What they're dashing is like this. So in Kriyashma, so the pasuk says, "Leman yirbu yimechem v'yimevenechem." You should have longevity of days, and your children will enjoy that longevity as well. Now, the pasuk immediately before that is uksaftom al mezuzos beisecho bisharecha. Right. So the man demer who holds that parents, God forbid, lose their children early because of not treating the mitzvah of mezuzah properly, understand the juxtaposition: uksaftom al mezuzos beisecho. Make sure to have mezuzahs, and then as a result of what? Your children will live. The previous man d'amar, the other man d'amar says, no, it's Bittul Torah. Why? Because two psukim before leman yirbu is what? V'limaratem osam es b'nechem l'daber bam. You will teach your children Torah. So understanding Bittul Torah is not just to the parents Bittul Torah, but they also negate the study of Torah for their children. And therefore, it's only if I learn and I teach my children that I have leman yirbu. So what they're really, what's the machlokes? The machlokes really is in how you darshan psukim. So there's a big machlokes in terms of how do you darshan juxtapositions? Are juxtapositions only darshan when two things are literally right next to each other? or is it that even they're in the same general parsha? So the man d'amar who holds that children are taken because parents are not diligent in the mitzvah mezuzah holds that you only darshan what? Literally items that are immediately juxtaposed. Therefore, you have the mitzvah of mezuzah, and then immediately after l'man yirbu, according to the man d'amar who holds that it's bittul Torah, he holds that juxtaposition could even take place in general context. Even though the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is two psukim before l'man yirbu, that's what the Gemara calls. That's what the Gemara calls lifnei farav, right? It's not immediately before the mitzvah or the statement of l'man yirbu, but it's two psukim before. They still hold you could dash in that juxtaposition as well. Pligi bar Rameh Rabbi Yehuda. So Rameh Rabbi Yehuda have an argument. Say the following: Chad Amar ba'avon mezuzah, v'chad Amar ba'avon sittus. One says that children are taken chas v'shalom because of right dereliction of the mitzvah mezuzah, and others say because of dereliction of the mitzvah sittus. Bishlom the man Amar ba'avon mezuzah. So I understand the man who says by mezuzah dechsev uksav tom am mezuzos beisecha uksiv basrei leman yirbu yimechem meivneichem, as we just spoke about before, the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of mezuzah to the bracha of longevity of days. Eleman do amar ba'avon sittis my time. But according to the opinion who holds that loss of a child can be related to non-vigilance in the mitzvah of sittis, what's the reason? Rav Kana v'tema shila mori d'chsev gam b'chnafecha nimtzu dam nefashos evyonim nikiyim. Because the pasuk says, and over here now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Yirmiyah, that's what? Also on the corners of your garments there have been found the blood of poor innocent souls. So the Gemara understands that's reference to the corner of your garment is a reference to the mitzvah of tzitzis. And literally it says that if one is not careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, chas v'shalom, one bears the responsibility for the loss of pure innocent souls. Ranachem Bar Yitzchak Amar, Leman Da'amar Ba'avon Mezuzah, Name Mehacha. So according to the man d'amar who holds that parents could lose children because of the mitzvah of mezuzah, also learns that from the family pasuk, Tichsev, Dichsev, lo b'machteres mitzosim. So now the Gemara is quoting also the same pasuk from Yirmiyahu. It's just later on in the same pasuk. Lo b'machteres mitzosim literally means I will not be found in the hidden places. She'asu psochim kimachteres. That the sin was they made their doorways like machteres, like tunnels. So Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi, kimachteres she'ein lam pitzimin. Because remember, what do tunnels normally look like? Tunnels are archways. Right? Now remember, the mitzvah of mezuzah is only if what? If you have a tzuras ha-pesach, right? You need lintels and a doorpost. If you don't have a tzuras ha-pesach, a rectangular entranceway, then you don't have mitzvah mezuzah. You don't have to put mezuzahs on archways. So the dashing the pasuk lo b'machteres mitzasim she'asu psachim kimachteres. They made their doorways like tunnels, i.e., they did not put mezuzahs on their doorways. Amar Reish Lakish, kala zohir b'tzitzis, zocha u'mishamshin lo beiz alofen v'ches me'os avadim. Listen to this. Anyone who's careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis will find himself in the Messianic era with 2,800 servants. What does this mean? What does this mean? So listen to this. So what does this mean? She'ne'emar, ko amar Hashem Tzvakos. Isn't that beautiful, this idea is? Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos, b'yomim ha'hema, asher yachziku asara anoshim mikol l'shonos ha'goyim, v'chziku b'knaf ish Yehudi le'mor, ne'elcha imachem. So we'll say, listen to this. This is in Zechariah. So the Navi describes when the Mashiach is going to come. The Navi describes about how all the nations of the world are going to flock around the Jewish people to try to be part of the Jewish people. Now also, we know the Gemara tells us, we will not accept converts in the Messianic era. Well, no acceptance of converts in the Messianic era. Because the Gemara says that the whole notion of conversion is only meaningful when a person accepts upon himself the difficulties, the trials and tribulations, the vicissitudes of being Jewish. But in the Messianic era, when the status of Am Yisrael will be catapulted, so it's not going to be the Shema. It's not going to be genuine. So the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, listen to how this pasuk translate. In those days, asher yachziku asara anoshim mikol shonos hagoyim, 10 people from every nation will go ahead and hold on to the corner of each Jew's garment to say, Nelcha imachem, let us come with you. So the Gemara dashes this metaphorically that the knaf refers to what? Refers to tzitzis. Now if it's 10 people from every nation, how many nations are there? 70. Which means, right, 70 and 10 from each nation, so 700 by each corner, right? Four corners of the tzitzis, 2,800, right? So obviously the Gemara is not literal over here, but the point of the Gemara is saying is, if you could imagine how it's going to look, that the nations of the world will be holding on to the corners of our tzitzis, right? So desperate to go ahead, but obviously the metaphor only works if you're wearing tzitzis. So, right? So the idea is that the nations of the world will be holding on to the corners of the tzitzis of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara gives a mnemonic for the next conversation. Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia Omer. Rabbi Nechemia says the following. Ba'avon sinas chinam. Yeah, that's just a mnemonic for the coming conversation. Zimun shana chala truman exalz. Good. So Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia Omer. Rabbi Nechemia says the following. Ba'avon sinas chinam. Miriva rabba besoch beisa. So we'll say, listen to this. This is quite amazing. As a result of the sin of sinas chinam, so contention, fighting breaks out in one's home. Now, I will say, that's not a metaphorical idea, right? What is that saying? So, contentious, quarrelsome people don't generally limit their quarrels to shul, to work, to anywhere else. Generally, if you're a quarrelsome and contentious person, you're going to have problems within your life relationships as well, within your home. So just say, if you're a baal sinas chinam, if you're someone who just is an angry, can't get along with people, hate people, just understand you're going to bring that anger into your home as well. Meriva rabba besoch beso shal adam. V'ishto ma peles nefalim. And as a result, his wife will go ahead and miscarry. Ubanov ubinosav shall adam mason kishem kitanim. And Nebuch, his children will die young. We'll say in the Maral comments over here, and he says something so profound. What does it mean? Ishtoma pelas nefalim. What does it mean? His wife will miscarry. So what does it mean when chasham a woman miscarries? It means that she had the potential for life, but then that opportunity was lost. Children dying young also represents lost potential. So the Maharal says so beautifully that if a person is angry, if a person is a baal machlokes, that anger stunts familial growth. That anger stunts growth in your marriage. That anger stunts growth with your children. And anything and everything good that could have come from your home will not materialize. Because right, that's the thing. Ishtoma pelas nefalim. Your wife, you'll prevent your wife from progressing. Right, your wife won't be able to go ahead and add additional life to her life. Your children will die young. Again, like what the Maharal said before, not necessarily because not necessarily literally physically, but it means is your anger will stunt your children from becoming something great as well. Such again, this is so pashut, but things that we forget. The people we are, the disposition we have, the midos we bring into our homes, into our marriages, into raising our children, ultimately shape the character of everyone around us. Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ba'avon Chala, so Ba'avon Chala means, Avon means literally the sin of Chala. Now what does it mean, the sin of Chala? It means if a person doesn't take Chala, right? As a result of not taking Chala, what happens? Ain bracha b'mechunas. Anything that a person gathered, they won't find any bracha. So what that literally refers to is if a person goes ahead and gathers stuff for storage. So you'll find that the items that you stored will rot.
So the sin of Chala is the separation of Chala.
Correct. Right, really it's the sin of not separating Chala.
But everyone knows that now.
Right, well, when you buy challah, that's already been taken care of. But let's say if a woman's making challah at home, there's still a mitzvah of Rosh's challah. Right, just that's a separate challah, even though, again, we don't give it to the Kohen today, we burn it, but there's still a mitzvah of Rosh's challah. So the Gemara says the following. So if a person sins by not taking challah, they'll find that all of the things that they stored for themselves will not last. That's like a midah keneged midah. If you don't give the Kohen what's coming to him, then you will not find the bracha in what you put aside for yourself. Umeira mishtalachas b'sham. Not only that, but you'll find that there'll be a curse that will go out upon the prices, which means that not only will it affect what you stored, but it'll also affect your ability to do commerce. Vizorin zroim, you will plant things. The achirim ochlen, others will eat it. Shina emar, af ani es ezos lachem, vivkarati aleichem, bahalas hashachefes, achadachas, machalosanem, divos nefesh, uzeratim lorik zarechem, v'achlu aivechem. This is by the Tochecha, right? You'll go ahead and you'll plant for naught, and your enemies will eat it. Al tikri bahala ela bechala. So the Gemara says, you could actually don't read it bahala, which means confusion, but rather read it what? All of these sins will come as a result of chalar. And this is just simple midah keneged midah. If you're stingy with that which you are supposed to give with others, just understand that stinginess will affect your holdings as well. Vim nosnin misparchin. But if you give chala, right, then you'll be blessed. Shine emar, reishes arisosechem titnu lakoin, laniach bracha el beisecha. Bittel avon shmosu maestros. Ba'avon bittel trumos and maestros, as a result of the sin of not giving trumos and maestros, right? Remember, which represents the portions of the Kohanim and the Levim. Then what happens? Shamayim ne'etzar milahori tal umater. The heavens will stop giving their rain. Vahayok, now obviously, when you hear things like this, this obviously is not talking about the individuals. These kind of things are talking about a collective sin. If Klal Yisrael as a whole is not giving their trumos and maestros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond by not allowing the heavens to bring forth their rain. Vahayoker, right? Vahayoker hava, vahaschar avad, things will become very expensive, and therefore profits will be lost. Ubnei adam rotzen achar parnasasan, people will have to work very hard running after their parnasa, ve'in magiyan, and they will never catch up with it. Shene emar, because he quotes the pasuk over here, he quotes the pasuk from Iov, and the pasuk says, "Tzia, where is it? Tzia gamchom yigzelu meimei sheleg sheol im lo eftach lochem es arubos hashamayim varikot." Well, actually, that's it. Tzia gamchom yigzelu meimei sheleg sheol chatu. So the pasuk literally means the dry and warm seasons steal the waters of snowy season. They have sinned to the depths. My mashal, what does this mean? Tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel bishvil dvarim shetzivisi eschem b'yimos hachama v'lo asisim, because of the things that I commanded you to do during the summer. The Rabbi said, what are you obligated to do during the summer? Remember, summertime is harvest time. Actually, spring is harvest time. Summer is when they go ahead and they allow everything to dry out. That's when you're beginning to bring things in to your storehouse as well. And that's dafka when you give out your trumos and maestros. So if you didn't do what I asked you to do during the summertime and give out your trumos and maestros, v'lo asisim, yigzilu mikem mimei shelek b'mos hagishamim. If you steal from the Kohanim Levim, I will steal back from you the rains during the rainy season, vimnosnin. But if you give your trumos and maestros, look how beautiful this is. This is how we'll end today. If you give your trumos and maestros, you give your tzedakah misparchin, you'll be blessed. Shnei emar, heviu es kol ma'aser el beis ha'otzar. Bring all of your maaser to the storehouse. V'itera v'beisi, and there will be extra in my home. U'bichanuni na bezos, and give me chayin, gratify me with this. Amar Hashem Tzvakos, im lo eftach lochem es arubos hashamayim, varikosi lochem bracha ad belida. I will open up for you the storehouses of the heavens, and I will shower them upon you until you say stop. So what the pasuk is saying is, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take care of mine, I will take care of yours. You give your trumos and maestros, you give your stucco, I will open up, you will open up your storehouses to others, I will open up my celestial storehouses to you, and so much until you say die. Until you say enough, Rabbi Moshe, look how this ends, my ad beli die. What does it mean? Now, the translation is a little bit strange. Ad beli die. Until there is no more die. What does that mean? Amar Rami, Barav, Amarav, Ad sheyivlo sifsosechem milomar dai, until your lips get worn out from saying enough. Meaning, imagine this, Rabosai, that we get so much bracha from the Ribono Shel Olam that we're saying stop, 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 stop. It's enough, 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 enough. Right? Halavai, right? And our lip, with so much bracha coming that our lips get worn out from saying enough. So halavai, we should be zochim yiratz Hashem to become the kind of people to experience the bracha. Shelivlo sifsosein lo milomar dai.
32B. 32B.